Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast. If you're new here to creativity, we're all about it. Please like, follow, share. We have an amazing guest today, Allison Charney. She comes with a wealth of background in operatic voice. I think I was really honestly impressed when I was at an event where you were singing your newest album, Alike. And I was wondering if you could kind of dig into the creative process of what it was like to create Alike and reimagining different songs and how that process and that creative process was for yourself.
Sure. First of all, so nice to be here. Thank you for having me. What a fun outcome of doing a performance. Having to join you here. I mean, I think that the point that I'm trying to make with this album, I think, drove the entire creative process for the entire team. So I think that's sort of the starting point in discussing anything creative about this album, for sure. It's called Alike, My Mother's Dream. And I understand dreaming is a big part of your podcast this season. And this is my response to the lessons my mother has taught me and continues to teach me, and anybody in her orbit, about the importance of striving to find what makes us alike as human beings rather than what divides us. That's sort of it in a nutshell. And, you know, the way that I do that is the way I do anything sort of is I sing classical music. And so this classical music album in which I sing, and it's there are seven tracks. Four of them are composed by composers who are living now, and three are rediscovered pieces from the late Romantic era that you just alluded to. And the album, I think of it as being divided into two sections, although it isn't really, or you wouldn't notice the two sections, but there are the country pairs. There's a piece composed by a Russian, one by a Ukrainian, one by an Iranian, and one by an Israeli. My point being that I believe all of that music belongs right next to each other on this album, just as I believe those people all belong right next to each other on planet Earth. And then there are the rediscovered big orchestral anchors, I guess actually, yeah, just the big orchestral anchors. One of them is a piece by a woman who lives today in New York City. It's called Invocation. She went around her super diverse neighborhood of Washington Heights interviewing everybody who works there to ask them to please translate one sentence, the same sentence, into their native language, their language of origin. And that sentence is, make peace on all your lands. And what she did is she selected 15 of those, and she set 15 world languages, one sentence, make peace on all your lands, for soprano and full orchestra. So that's one of the tracks.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I keep going on and on, but the point, I guess the point is that the creativity was driven by the goal, which is to try to tell a story of unity. Mm-hmm. And not a story necessarily, not that I just, you know, it's hard to say, like, right, what impact does this one little classical music album have? How could this possibly be anything about unity? And when you listen to it, are you really thinking about that when you're listening to it? You know, I don't know. I hope when you're listening to it, you like it. And I hope when you're listening to it, you feel something. I hope it gives you 41 minutes of an opportunity to just sit and be with your feelings. Because at the end, what else is art for,
right?
Allow people to feel, right? But then if you want to dig a little bit deeper into the meaning of it, my hope is that this is just, you know, my little drop in the bucket of creatively trying to point out just how much we all have in common. So I guess it's my creative drop in the bucket.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing is, like, it's really true because there's a lot of connectivity, and in a sense with your album there was a lot of collaboration in that process. And I guess, can you go over, like, a little bit of the collaborative effort? Because, you know, in this, like, as an artist, you're kind of the one painting the canvas, but you're also working with other painters. And I guess, could you kind of share that creative process with your collaborators and how that works?
Yeah, I mean, the first most important collaborator is the pianist and conductor, who either plays piano or conducts on every track of the album. And that is Benjamin Loeb. And Ben and I have been friends and musical partners for 37 years, really long time. An epically long time, an unimaginably long time. And, you know, we live very different lives and we, you know, we're each married and we have children. Somebody recently wrote about my husband, Benjamin Loeb. Benjamin and I are definitely not married. our spouses would be shocked to learn, but we have been sort of committed to this creative process together for a really long time. And even though we collaborate with plenty of other people, we sort of always touch base with each other and are always really excited when we get to do something together. And our collaborative process is tough because we've known each other for so long and we, you know, sort of don't let each other get away with anything. And we're each other's biggest fan and biggest critic, I think, in the best possible way. You need somebody to be your critic. So that's a delightfully rewarding big piece of the puzzle. And then there are other collaborative artists. There's a whole orchestra. There's the cellist Peter Seidenberg. There's the flutist Allen Loggins Hull. There's the violinist Kelly Hall Tompkins. And the harpists, Kirsten Agresta Copley and Gay LeBlanc. And then there are the composers who are living, the four composers. There's Kian Ravai and Mariana Rosette and Kim D. Sherman, who's the one who wrote Invocation, and also Lara Auerbach. And the collaborative process I find between living composer and performing artist is so rewarding because, you know, my job as a singer, I don't write the music. This is not my original composition in any way. It's my job to interpret the music that's put in front of me. And incredibly rewarding is the ability to go back and forth with a composer and make suggestions and have them listen to it this way. And what about this way? And what about this? And this might fit better in my voice here. And this might work, you know. And I find all of these composers to be unbelievably collaborative in that respect. And it's so fun for me to get to be a little part in the compositional process. And there's the production team. So, it, you know, it goes on and on and on. My producers, Kit Wakely and Christina Giacona and Patrick Conlon and Jeff Keswin. There's a whole team of associate producers. There's a whole team of editors and engineers. I mean, it goes on and on. And every person plays such an important role and has their ears on the project and is comfortable, you know, chiming in when they think something is great and when they think something is less than great. And all of that is so important. And in this particular case, it's really been the most supportive of all possible teams, the dreamiest of all dream teams. And, you know, I think everybody is at their creative best when they're feeling supported and comfortable. So you can make mistakes and, you know, sound icky sometimes in order to get to the good.
Yeah, it's very true. Like, it's like sometimes you have to have the failures to get to the good stuff. And just like you were saying, like, it's really a community and really alike is that unity, because it really wove together also a lot of amazing creative and talented musicians, producers, artists, including you. Like, it kind of melded that. So it's a perfect melting pot for that.
I'm going to use that from now on. It's the perfect melting pot, my dream.
Yeah.
Life, we call ourselves. Yeah. The other thing is, everybody involved really, you know, in addition to just wanting to make great music with great musicians, which is, you know, the main thing, people really appreciated this story and this mission and this drop in the bucket. And everybody was really, you know, on board to contribute their piece to their PIEs to this notion of, you know, finding our similarities, and which is, after all, I mean, isn't that the whole point of collaboration?
Yeah. It's working looking together at what the alike, we're all alike in a way, and it's, you know, creating and melding each of our talents together. And I think that's what was so beautiful with your album, is it was like everyone's top tier talent coming together. And even like, I was listening to the album recently and was just like, wow, it just kind of all came together beautifully. I was wondering, Allison, like, where do you find whether that's your creative reset? Where do you find your refuge, like, as a creative? Because you're probably doing vocal warm-ups daily. So there's other artists that are listening. Like, what are some creative gems that you can kind of share with these creatives? Like, where to reset or re-spark your creativity when you don't have any?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this is a job just like any other job. And there are days, you know, you don't want to get up and do your job. And the weird and sort of impossible thing about being a singer is you carry your instrument with you 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so in terms of singing, like just doing the singing of it, you know, think of how many times you've woken up in the morning with sort of a scratchy throat, or your voice sounds a little deep or a little high or a little, you know, that's all devastating for a singer. And so there's, you know, there's that piece of it, you know, and then there's just in general, like there's so much more to it. And there's so much hyphenateness to all of this. I don't know any creative person who is just the one thing.
Right. We all wear so many hats. So I guess like that was in part of that creative question is like in wearing the hats, how do you balance that? Because you're a mom, like there's all these other titles that you carry, not only just amazing singer, but, you know, you're a mom, you know, fit, you have family, all this other dynamics. I guess, how do you balance it best as this creative to still funnel your creative dreams, but then also have that balance?
I mean, I think it's probably no different than, you know, I think being a working mother is you know, the greatest of all challenges. My hat's off to all of us who are trying to make it work. You know, I think first of all, you can't do everything perfectly all the time. So you have to give yourself a little bit of grace and understand that at any given moment, it's likely that you're doing the very best you can do in that moment. And I think forgiving yourself a little bit is a good strategy. And, you know, finding time for yourself every once in a while and not losing sight of the goal. And if you're a very busy person, you know, if you want something done, give it to a busy person, because, you know, you got to make the most of the limited time that you have. And so no dilly-dallying, just get it done. And I think not losing sight of the point, right? So like the point is to be doing this so that other people have a chance to feel something. First of all, it's not necessarily about you feeling it at every given moment. So if you're not feeling it, it doesn't really matter, because the point is for other people too. So you can sort of get past yourself and just get the job done. I feel like this is all sort of like very, it almost sounds rigid, and I'm not at all a rigid person. And certainly making art is anything but rigid. It is all flowy and, you know, no
yeah.
long. but there is an awful lot of, you know, technique and discipline and discipline. I mean, there, especially in classical music, I mean, that is a huge, huge part of it. And so you got to keep your eye on the discipline prize, I think. You know, you got to find time to play spelling bee every day. That clears my mind.
Right. That's fun. So we're now going to do a fun little trivia thing. I guess you're just going to give me one word or like a short answer. So I guess what's your pre-performance ritual, no matter how small of the stage? What is your pre-performance ritual?
I look at a photograph that was taken of me when I was 8 years old, when I caught a fish that made it into the summer newspaper as the catch of the week.
Oh my gosh, I love that. We're going to have to share this picture. Like, that's amazing.
I was sitting around, I'm sitting at my piano, and it's often like, somewhere here, but I don't send it to you.
Okay. One area you could sing in your sleep or just lay?
Well, I think probably not an aria, but a song by Strauss called Zu Eignung, which means dedication. I have ended almost every single program I've ever done singing that one gem of a piece. So I'm pretty sure that one I can roll out of bed.
You'll just do dedication. Wow. I love that. And then what about your worst onstage mishap? And I guess what happened?
That's like a no-brainer answer. The worst onstage mishap was when I was singing Madame Butterfly. I've sung a ton of Madame Butterfly in my career, and I was on a tour singing Madame Butterfly. And at the beginning of Act 3, if you've seen that, Act 2 ends, she's waiting, Pinkerton, her love is finally coming back from America, and she and her faithful helper Suzuki and her child are together waiting, holding a vigil for the ship that is coming. And the end of Act 2 is that they see the ship in the distance and so happy. And then Act 2 ends, and then Act 3, and they're waiting, waiting, waiting. And then Act 3 begins, and they're waiting, waiting, waiting. And the helper and the child have fallen asleep, and Butterfly is still waiting. And I was in a production where the curtain rises on act three. We're in the same positions you found us in before the intermission. And the music is supposed to go bum, 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 bum. And I am still gazing outward towards the sea and the ship. And so I'm not looking down at the conductor or the orchestra. And I don't have to because I know the cue perfectly. Bum, 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 right. And nothing, no music, nothing.
Oh, my.
And still nothing. And sometimes on stage, time goes really slowly and you'll think something is, you know, 5 minutes long and it's really 5 seconds long. But this was really, really, really long time. And I finally started as slowly as I could, bringing my gaze downward to try to communicate with the conductor. And by the time it got down so that it would be imperceptible to the audience that I wasn't doing the exact same thing, as I was supposed to be frozen in time. And as I looked down, I saw that neither the conductor nor the orchestra had returned from the break. And the stage manager had inadvertently and mistakenly brought the curtain up on us.
Oh, gosh.
Nobody ready to start the opera. That was the worst mishap that has ever happened to me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't know.
even as I say it, I'm getting like hot and sweaty.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to dreams. So what about your dream duet partner, living or dead?
Oh, wow. My dream duet partner would be singing a duet for two sopranos, which is very rare, with the great Renata Tibaldi.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Most diva thing you secretly enjoy?
Most diva thing I secretly enjoy. I think I love a grand curtain call in front of a paged curtain when they pull back the curtain just a little bit and you do a grand curtsy that was taught to me by the late, great John Lehmeyer, a brilliant director and costume designer who took me aside when I was in graduate school and said, we need to teach you how to curtsy. Taught me the grand diva curtsy. And I'll give you a secret. You know, if you picture that grand curtsy, you can imagine the diva holding her hand, like, I don't know if you've, to her breast, like in Italy, they used to pay you at the intermission in cash. And it was not safe to leave your cash in the dressing room. And so people
stuffed
their cash in their cleavage. And when they came out, they did, you could not see.
That
they
had I see. That's cash. Funny. Who that would know this?
Well, every time I do that.
I love that. That's so funny and amazing. Okay. What about one thing your audience would never guess about you?
Oh my gosh. One thing you would never guess about me. When I was in high school, I drove carpool and I tortured the younger kids in the car the year that Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart came out, because I made a cassette tape that only had that song over and over and over and over again. And that's what I made them listen to on the way to school.
Oh, wow. They must have loved you after a while. That's amazing. Okay, what about what's your go-to come down after a big performance?
My go-to come down. I don't know if I have a go-to. I mean, I love being with people afterwards. I love, you know, the postmortem. I love being able to relax and not worry about my throat for just a little bit and, you know, unwind together with family and friends and, you know, be with the really important people.
Yeah.
I don't know, ritual, but that's my favorite moment.
Yeah. I love that. It's all about community, family, friends, those that support you. So I love that. That's beautiful.
Also, it's like real life.
Yeah. Know? And then if you weren't a singer, what would your dream job be?
I used to think that I wanted to be in politics when I was a child. I think that is definitely no longer the case. I've always been fascinated by languages, which, you know, comes into play. So I thought maybe, when I was in high school, I thought maybe I'd like to be a United States Senator or an interpreter for the UN.
Oh, I like that. That's cool. You never know, these things are still possible.
Yeah. Now my dream is to be, I mean, not for a long time still, but the next dream job will be grandmother.
Aww.
Not for a very long time. Might be young, but that would be the next, the transition job.
The next dream. Yeah. And speaking of dreams, I ask each of my guests one word that connects them with dreams and creativity. What would your one word be?
Everett, which isn't a word that would make sense to anybody.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. You got to expand on that one.
Well, Everett was my great uncle, my mother's uncle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, this album is like my mother's dream. Mm-hmm. And that got its inspiration from the fact that my uncle Everett had a dream for my mother that she has lived her life trying to fulfill. And it's a very similar dream. He fought on the front lines of World War II. Mm-hmm. And his dream was that my mother, a sweet little Jewish girl in the United States, would someday be able to be a loving friend to a sweet little German girl who he was seeing in Germany. And that was his dream was that could be a possibility, mm-hmm. that those two little girls could grow up in friendship and love. And that's always been a part of our family lore. And I think obviously sort of led me to this project now. Yes, I think of my Uncle Everett.
Oh, I love that. You're the first that has said a family member, and it's very beautiful and touching and kind of poignant on even your album, because Alike was created because it was inspired by your mom. So it seems like some of your creative inspiration has a lot to do with your family.
For sure. My family is awfully creative too. My parents are in the arts and have lived a life in the arts. So I come by it naturally.
Right.
Yeah.
And where can some of our guests, they really enjoyed our conversation, they want to dig into Alike, your album, where can they come and find you?
So I ran a concert series for 13 years called Preformances. It's like performances, but it's spelled Preformances. And if you go to preformances.org, there is a, what do you call that? A tab, a drop down for Alike, the album. And so you can find out lots of information there. You can also find me on social media with three names, my professional name, Allison Charney, and then also my married name, Epstein. So on social media, I'm Allison Charney Epstein.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allison, for being on the podcast. For our listeners, dig into Alike. I'm going to make sure to post a link in the bio. And I guess today's is Everett. The word is Everett. And it's really about thinking about family. So if we could pause, take a moment, think about our family, those that inspire us, that are close to us. That's really where we get our creativity. So Allison, thank you for that reminder, because it was a beautiful reminder for our creatives. You know, embrace family. That's what it's about. And they give us a lot of our inspiration. So thanks to our Limitless listeners. And thanks, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.